This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
How you doing? Welcome to the Gospel of Kennison, episode 202, brought to you the week of March 31st, 2024. I'm your host. My name is James Kennison. This is my personal audio journal. Happy Easter. That's right. Even if you're not a believer, it's still Easter, you know. But for those of us that are, it's a good time. It really is. I think Easter should be celebrated more than Christmas, honestly. But I'm kind of glad it's not, because Easter, though it is commercialized and full of bunnies and chickens and stuff, it's relatively true to what it originally started out to be, a bunch of people going to church all at the same time. Speaking of which, Jenna and I are, you know, we're part of a small group, a micro church called Novation Church, but we are going to go to a main church service today. So that should be interesting. 11:45 out in Chesterfield. So I've been enjoying not going to church on Easter, because Easter was always in church when I was on staff. It was the big show, you know. It's where we made sure the grass was cut, and we literally went around the church and distributed mulch, you know, brand new mulch, so everything would look good. And I always kind of scratched my head as to why we did this, because these people weren't coming back. And I guess that was the heart behind it, is let's make everything look good. Let's do a super awesome service. That way these people possibly will come back. They never came back. So if I were to run a church, I would just do a normal service and not cater. You know what I'm saying? And then I would just trust that those who naturally liked what we did on a normal Sunday would come back. Not that church attendance is the end all be all of salvation anyway. I know I used to believe it was, but it's not. I think it's important not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Obviously, as a believer, I believe that. But I've been interacting with this small group, this micro church, Novation Church, and we do ministry together, we fellowship together, and we do meet together. Not as regularly as some people would dictate to us, but we're a family, and I'll explain a little bit more about that later, but happy Easter. That's the whole point, is he is risen, and because of his death and his resurrection, we can confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Christ was raised from the dead, and we can have our sins forgiven, and it's just nothing but good. It's nothing but good stuff. man tries to make it into a bunch of bullcrap, but at the end of the day, the whole Jesus thing, it is a challenge, but it's the best. It is the best. Weekly update. Did you know that babies know what bananas are? I didn't know till I took one to a volleyball game. I just had it sitting next to me because sometimes guys got to eat, you know, you got the stomach the size of a daggone two ping pong balls or whatever. You're going to be there for a minute. You gotta have a little something. So I had a glass of water and I had a banana just sitting next to me and I was fine. And a couple rows down on the bleachers was this guy holding the cutest baby I've ever seen. Fattest cheeks ever invented. And that is a wonderful thing to see on a baby. You want to see a big fat baby. And this baby wasn't like uber fat. It just had big old cheeks. And baby was smiling at me and smiling at my wife and smiling at this lady that was sitting next to my wife. And it was just all this cuteness until I started eating that banana. And I felt a tonal shift in the air. And I looked at that baby and that baby was locked on to my banana. Because babies know what bananas are. And she looked hangry. If you don't know what that means hungry and angry. She was like, what are you doing, 50-year-old man? You're not supposed to be eating bananas. That all of those that I've ever seen have been for me. 6 months old, man. It's my limit of my expertise. That's all I know about bananas is they're all mine. And I was bad. I got to say, when I noticed the baby liked my banana, I did a little banana dance. Like, haha, I have a banana and you don't. I don't know why I did, okay? It's terrible. It is. It makes me a bad person, okay? It does. But somehow it got back to the father that I did this. And I said, I'm sorry. I went to him during halftime because volleyball has a halftime, I guess. Maybe it was after the game. I don't know. But I said, I'm sorry. I had a banana. I teased your baby. I owe your baby a banana. So it turned out to be the coach's baby. So I'm never getting away from this baby. This baby is going to haunt me at every game I go to until I provide a banana. But would you give your baby a banana that an old, creepy old 50-year-old man gave you? No, I don't think you would. So I think I'm in the clear. I don't know. So as you know, many of you know, I have been a recent victim of bariatric surgery. And I say victim lightheartedly because it's been good. But it's also had its challenges. And you know me, I always focus on the positive, right? I'm Mr. Positive Man. No, I don't. I focus on the negatives. And I'll tell you the truth when nobody else will. Because I watched lots of videos before I had my procedure, my elective procedure. And everybody said pretty much the same thing, that it was great and awesome and no problems. And I think they left out parts. I really do, because my stomach, dadgum, hates me and doesn't ever want me to eat anything but like liquid. And so anyway, just as far as updates in general, let's just go through them. First of all, the incisions have fully healed, except that I feel like I've been punched in four very specific locations where the holes were. You know, and you got to think they went through quite a bit of stuff. I don't know where the muscles are in the stomach. Are they on top of the fat or are they under the fat? I'm going to say that they are somewhere in between, because when I tense up my stomach, like my stomach muscles, I can touch my muscles right there through my skin. So I would say that there's probably a little bit of fat on top and a little bit of fat on bottom. My whole point is I think they drilled through, yes, with a DeWalt drill through the skin and through muscle. And that's what I'm feeling. Is I'm feeling like somebody small, somebody infantile, took their tiny fist and just punched, like somebody drew some X's in four spots on my stomach and then just punch. And so that's the reality that I'm dealing with. Yeah, it just feels like that. So I've lifted things, though, that I know I shouldn't. Okay, when they first let me out of the hospital, they said, you're not allowed to pick up more than this amount of weight. Now, granted, it's been a while. We're going on a month, you know. It has been a month. It'll be a month Monday. But when I first got the surgery, they said you can carry 1 gallon of milk, but if you carry 2 gallons of milk, that's too much. And don't you know, I've been reminding my wife of that every time we go get groceries. Oh, I can't carry this. Oh gosh, I'm gonna rip open. Guts everywhere. You know, but I have lifted things. I'm going to be honest. I lifted a sofa. I lifted 2 sofas. They were actually futons, which are kind of heavier and lankier than sofas sometimes. Metal parts, you know, soft, spongy parts. I've been moving shelves around. I've been doing redecorating. So I don't know that I've been obeying the rules. And maybe that's why my inner guts feel bad, because the outside's healed, but the inside has these dissolvable stitches. And I don't know how they work. I don't know if they just immediately seal the deal, or, you know, is it like Frankenstein, where if I bend too far one way, they kind of stretch and pop. I don't know. Why did I say it that way? But overall feeling good. As far as surgery goes, as far as the incisions and the things, I just feel like a baby beat me up. Maybe it's a curse. Maybe it's yoga. I'm sorry. What do they call it? Hebrew? No. Oh, goodness. I got to have it now. Gratuitous? Nope. I can't remember the word for... I thought that would do it. Like karma. There you go. I don't believe in karma, but I do believe you reap what you sow. And what I sowed was an angry baby and maybe baby punches, you know, maybe a baby sneaking in my house and punching me in the guts. I don't know. But don't tease a baby. It's just a general good idea. As a Christian man, I should not be teasing babies. There's nothing scriptural. Well, it does talk about men not frustrating their children, but that ain't my kid. Ain't my kid. That don't apply to me. So I've been eating pureed foods. This is week 2. My stomach has gotten a bit more used to it. I told you last week that I was going to need another week, and that has turned out to be true. I've enjoyed my eggs. I eat an egg every morning, and every morning my stomach says, "What the freak? Did you just put in my self?" But today, for instance, I ate an egg before I did the podcast. By the way, I'm doing the podcast at like 8:54 in the morning. I just ate my egg, and it's fine. Everything's fine. I had a couple swallows of milk, and everything's good. Mashed potatoes, blended up fruit cups, applesauce, protein shakes, blended soups. You know, and lots of outings to Olive Garden, because when I go out, that's where I want to go. I went out with my friend David, and we had a good talk, and he had not listened to the podcast, so I had/got to tell him all the funny stories, and he used to get high back before he got saved, so he really liked the stories of me being high, you know. And he's like, "What did they give you?" I'm like, I don't know. I don't want to tempt you. I don't want to tempt you from like 30 years ago. So that was good. And my stomach is tolerating the pureed foods better. It's not perfect, but I have been kind of cheating a little bit. Like, so I had Panera chicken soup, which has chicken chunks in it. And I ate that the other day and I chewed. I really did. And I swallowed and oh my gosh, I felt sick all that day. I felt like I was full to the neck. And I know I put too much chicken in my body. And that's the way pureed foods used to feel. And so there is a reason. There is a method to this stepping up madness. Now, what my doctor did tell me, because I went and visited my surgeon last Tuesday, like I told you last week, visit went well. She's very happy with everything. But she told me that you don't have to move forward to the next phase, but you just don't want to move early. And that's what I did. I couldn't help it. It was chicken. I just want to chew things again like a grown man. But anyway, doctor visit, what I said, went well. She's happy about everything. I've always had good blood pressure, even when I was, really fat. So that's a good thing. I don't drink or smoke. They're very happy about that. I made all those changes to my diet, before and exercise before the surgery. And I think that has been a key to the success because there's so much that changes overnight when you get this surgery. And I can't imagine going from a default unhealthy lifestyle to suddenly everything changing, like what you eat and everything. Because it would be so easy to get bariatric surgery and be out driving somewhere and pass a McDonald's and be like, oh, you know what? That's liquid. I can get a milkshake, Or I could cheat and drink coffee. I could put some sugar on this. I can eat cake, And I've like sworn all that off. I will admit my daughter came, this week for, spring break. She brought my favorite candy in the world that is only produced on Easter. They are called Reese's eggs. And I'm not talking about the chocolate covered Reese's cup eggs. I'm talking about the Reese's pieces version. They're bigger Reese's pieces. Can you imagine? Doesn't that just sound heavenly? Didn't that just sound like the best thing ever? Well, she brought some, and I did. I haven't had sweets in over a month, and I bit off the top of one of those, just enough to get some of the peanut butter, and I liquefied it and smeared it all over my mouth, inside my mouth. And then I left the rest of the bean there, like some toddler, that doesn't know how to hide the evidence of his crimes. So I don't know if somebody else finished it or threw it away. But anyway, I couldn't help myself. I was like, dadgummit. So at least I only had a tad. I mean, literally a tad. I don't know how much a tad is, but it's just enough of a bite of a Easter Reese's egg to taste the peanut butter. It's just a tad. Moving to soft foods on Monday, which is tomorrow. I don't have a complete list of what I'm moving up to, but I know I can have like ground, meats, like instead of pureed meats, I can have ground meats. So like ground hamburger is really the only one that I care about right away. And obviously that means spaghetti sauce. I think spaghetti sauce probably applied to pureed, and then noodles come into play. So I can eat spaghetti, folks. And that's one of the things I've been wanting. Now that means I would have 2 ounces of hamburger, 2 ounces of spaghetti, and 2 ounces of noodles. And so this is going to be the tiniest little spaghetti pile you ever saw. So That's why I will eat. I've been eating off of saucers because they say it tricks your brain. And yeah, an egg looks huge on a saucer. And I guess, you know, 6 ounces of spaghetti would look good on a saucer too. But it ain't tricking nobody. Ain't tricking nobody. My mom even tried to buy me some plastic baby utensils to try to, she saw it on YouTube. She's like, this is good for you because it'll make you feel like you're eating more. Nah, the saucer is nice. I feel good not eating up big plates, you know, for the washing. But no, I don't really need the tricks because I feel full after I eat. That's the trick. That's the trick is when I'm sipping soup like I did last night on our date, I know when to quit because I'm like, I'm going to make myself sick if I don't stop. And so that's where that's at. And as far as soup goes at Olive Garden, I'm still eating soup at Olive Garden. It's the only thing I can have, but I'm eating the stuff in the soup, like the little chicken chunks and the noodles and the vegetables and things like that. I can chew them up really good and because I'm a big boy. And so anyway, one thing that I realized about food, okay, because my surgeon / doctor asked me about my relationship with food. And before I was talking to my counselor as well about my relationship with food. I think I even mentioned it a few episodes back and how I really shouldn't have one, but I don't know. I don't know that is completely true, at least in maybe it is in that context, but not in the one I'm about to mention. Is now my relationship with food is not, oh, I love eating food. It's literally become, what does it do for me? What does it do for me? So I look at chicken and I see protein. I need protein. I feel it in my guts. That's why I want chicken so dang bad. I need protein. So I'll have a protein shake instead. I look at vegetables and I see nutrients. I need those vitamins and stuff. And I used to be in love with the taste of food. Now I'm about what the food does for my body. And that has been a major change. And if you're listening to this, I feel for you because it's like, I've had people that I've watched on YouTube and they go through, health changes. And I've always kind of, hated them. Because it's like it becomes all they talk about. But I promise you this, that when I'm all healed up and I'm done with the process of getting back to normal, I am done talking about the journey, the process. I just don't see any sense in like, hey, I ate 3 bites of steak and then I was full, and talking about, I mean, if you want to hear about weight loss, that's fine. I just let me know, james@nlcast.com. If you're cool with me giving you weight updates, they're saying I'm only going to go down to 230, but you know, that's from 300. But I'm going to shoot. That's my goal, but on Kickstarter, they have stretch goals where, you know, if you make the goal, then you try to go further. So once I make 220 or 230, I want to shoot for 215. That's one of my goals. So yeah, that's what I want to do. I want to do that. I will tell you that a few weeks ago, actually the episode before the surgery, I was talking about goals and stuff, and I was talking about the 5 main things that I could do with my life, with the rest of my life. And one of the things that I talked about is the struggle I have to get my day started. And so I talked to my counselor about that, and she suggested a very basic, there's no way in the world this is going to work kind of idea. Then I just nodded, said, sure. It's great. Yeah. Yeah. You know, because I told her that used to what got me out of bed was a bowl of good cereal. That's all it took, you know, but I don't have that anymore. I got to get up and make a daggum egg. So, you know, I was sleeping way too late. And I said, you know, my goal is to get up by 10. I think 10 is fair because it's not 2 in the afternoon. It's not 7 a.m. 10 is good for a guy that has no life. And she says, well, because I also talked to her about my desire, and it's from that same episode a few back, to take care of my spiritual life as much as I've been taking care of my physical and mental health. And that requires, in my opinion, it requires devotions, you know, reading your Bible and praying. And I've always struggled to make that a priority in my life. I mean, even back when I was a pastor, I read the Bible, sure, but I'm going to tell you, most of it was to sit there and study and get things ready to be, you know, taught. So I think it definitely benefited me, but was it for me? Was it quiet time? You know, I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, my what does your heart tell you? From episode 1 of Star Wars. So anyway, she suggested this. She says, why don't you, when the alarm goes off, instead of turning it off, hit the snooze. That's 9 minutes. Get up, pull up your phone, read Proverbs. Read whatever. There's 31 Proverbs, 31 days in a month. Whatever day it is, read that proverb. And by the time you're done reading, even if you go back to sleep, you will have started the day off right. And I was like, daggum. That sounds good. So the next day I woke up at 8. I sat up in bed, still warm, still cozy. Pulled open the Bible. I read. I misunderstood her, so I read Psalms. Psalms is a weird thing to read in the morning because the Psalms is very happy. Psalms, at least the ones I was reading, they were very happy. There was lots of celebration, and I was like, this is like going to a party when you're sick. You know, it's just not what I needed right then. But I got over to Proverbs eventually. But yeah, 8 a.m. read. And then got up and made an egg, and then I got on the treadmill for 30 minutes. And that's how I started my day. And I was awake all day, and I got things done. Like for Narthex Con, I designed a logo. I got stickers ready. I mean, just tons of little things throughout the day. That's what's funny is I wouldn't get up because I would get depressed about the fact that I had nothing to do. But after you're up, you find you have the energy to do things. And there are plenty of things to do that a depressed person doesn't even think of or see because you're so sad. But when you are up and you have that energy, which is very rare, you know, for a depressed person, you will find yourself finding things to do. And so I did, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about it later on. So yeah, the next day I got up, read my Bible, and then I added prayer. Nothing long and drawn out, and my wife's still sleeping next to me, so it's very quiet. It's just me and Jesus, Yeshua. And I just, you know, I pray for every member of my family. Thank God there's only 3. I pray for the outreach ministry that I do for the Family Nights Innovation. I pray for my wife's job because she is in the process of possibly switching her not her career, but you know, her job where she works. So I just pray that, you know, because we don't know. You don't know about stuff. So you just pray God's will. And what I do, we don't know if they're going to, I mean, they're probably going to offer the job, but we don't know if it's the right move or not. And so when you don't know, you pray God's will. And I just pray a broader prayer. Lord, give my wife the job of her dreams, please. She deserves it. She's a great lady. You should check her out. She's pretty awesome. So, yeah, the next day, like I said, Bible, prayer, egg, walk 30 minutes. I've been doing that 5 days in a row now. And, it's been really good. It's been really good for me. And I feel very disciplined. I mean, gosh, go back and listen to me talk about, it wasn't even that long ago, folks, talking about how undisciplined I am. And how I struggle with that one fruit of the spirit is being disciplined. But so far, so good. You know, I don't want to jinx it by saying, hey, I'm doing awesome. I'm the best. And you know, so I won't. But yeah, I don't know. All I can say is this. If I can do it, anybody can freaking do it. But it's little steps. You guys have been with me. The Atomic Habits book, tiny, tiny steps. Guys, I started walking 10 minutes at a time, you know, and now I watch, you know, a YouTube video or two and I'm done. And I don't even notice the time has passed. So it's so good for me. I will tell you a couple of tiny things. First of all, I've gone up a belt loop. Okay. Also, I put on a brand new pair of jeans. Now, when I say brand new, I'm kind of gross. I wear the same pair of jeans for about a week. Okay? I just do. I don't like changing the belt. And I don't wear jeans very often. So I don't like to run them through the washing machine over and over and over again. So I wear jeans when I go out of the house. And I don't go out of the house a lot. So, you know, maybe three times a week, you know, two date nights and maybe a trip to the volleyball game or something. So mostly wear pajama shorts around the house. So, you know, judge me if you want, turn off the podcast, pull your funding. James wears nasty pants. But anyway, it was date night. And last night I was like, it's time to change my pants. And Jen's like, hallelujah, because she thinks I should probably wear a new pair of jeans every single time. And I'm like, legs don't get dirty. They just don't. They don't. Legs don't get dirty. So the reason why I bring it up is when you wash jeans, what do? They shrink up to their normal size, right? And you stretch them out as you wear them, if you're a heavy set person like myself. But that first time that you put on those jeans, you got to suck it in. You got to hold your breath. You got to push really hard. You got to get that thing in there, zip it up, and then whew, you can breathe. And then you run the belt through and then crank down on that belt, get everything to where it won't fall off your non-existent hips. And I'll just say this. I said, Jen, watch. Because I knew there was going to be a difference because I used to put towels around myself and I had like a half inch of overlap. Now I have a good 4 to 5 inches of overlap. So I knew I'd lost weight, not specifically in my waistline, but around that area, you know, the belly and upper leg area. So I had a feeling I was going to have something good to show her. I said, watch this. And I freaking seamlessly pulled those two pieces together, snapped that rivet and then zipped it right up and then stuck my fingers in the waistband and ran it around the side of my hip to show her how much room there was. And it's funny when your clothes are big on you, you would think that would make you feel small. It makes you feel so fat and dumpy. It really does. My wife said she can relate, even though she's not big, but she says whenever she does, you know, she has gained and then lost a little weight, and she's still in between sizes, and so she's still wearing the bigger stuff. Oh, no, no, you know what she was talking about? Oh, she's going to kill me. She was talking about when she was losing weight after having the baby, and she was still wearing baby stuff and losing the weight, but still couldn't fit into normal clothes, and how she felt so fat and dumpy. Some of my t-shirts are starting to get big around the neck. Like, they hang off my shoulders, and it's not, there's been very little fun about this whole process. Okay. Very, very little. I would say nothing has been fun. Actually, I will say nothing, because even the weight loss, I get on the scale every day and I go down every freaking day. It goes down, and they call this the honeymoon period, because you lose a lot of weight right up front, you know. And yes, I'm probably going to be a saggy baggy person with my hanging skin. I don't care, but that's not even fun. I mean, it's amusing. It's like, oh, another 2 pounds. Wow. But all the work you have to do to go through it, you know, to all the food that you can't eat, and the stuff that upsets your stomach and everything, you pay a price. It's not free. Like I said, I used to think it was a cheat. It's a shortcut, but it's not a cheat. So anyway, what am I reading, watching, playing, doing? I didn't read anything this week. I usually read a book before I go to bed, but I've been falling asleep too fast because I've been getting up so dang early. So I just don't listen to the book. What have I been watching? YouTube videos. That's what I'm about. I haven't seen any movies or shows. So I wanted to suggest a couple of my favorite channels. One's called Donut, and it is a fun car stuff video. So It's not about I'll get it out eventually. It's just a fun car show. Like, I don't watch car shows. I don't watch cars racing and you know, let's soup up this car. Let's make it go 100 miles an hour, you know, that kind of stuff. But they mix it up and they have a lot of fun, and they have a variety of the types of videos that they do. And I enjoy the guys that run the channel. They just have good chemistry. There's a lot of fun, down to earth people. So I enjoy Donut. That's what it's called. Fun car stuff. And then one of my favorite guys on YouTube right now is named Ryan Trahan. And he's kind of found a niche where he goes around and he finds restaurants or hotels or Airbnbs with 1-star reviews, and he goes and stays in them or experiences them or eats from them. And then he will find something positive enough to leave a 5-star review. And his reviews are funny. The reviews he reads from other people are funny. The locations he goes are really great. Typically, he has an excellent adventure, and he's just funny. He's a full-grown man. He looks like a teenager, but he's really funny, and his editing and his videos are really tight. I could not suggest Ryan Trahan more. He just put out one yesterday where he goes and sleeps in sleep pods all over Europe and America. He's an American guy. He's from Texas. And so you know, it's really good. So anyway, and then the last thing I'm doing is I am moving. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm also watching videos on how to light Billy bookcases from IKEA. You know, those Billies, boy, they are dark if you get the black ones. And mine, I have stuff in them. I have collectibles, and I would like to be able to see them. So I've been looking. I'm like, Billy's have been around forever. You would think by now there would be an aftermarket or an IKEA, but preferably an aftermarket solution for the width of a Billy shelf. but it looks like I'm going to have to kind of string together a couple of things, meaning I'm going to probably get some molding to put at the bottom of each shelf. I'm going to run a line of LED lights behind that so you can't see them straight on, but you can see the effect. I'm going to have to wire all those in. I'm going to buy a controller that will work with my Google Home setup, because that's what we do. We have our little Googles, our little Google pucks. And some people do Alexa, but we're Google people. I got a good deal on them, so we do Google. So, because I want to be able to turn on and off the lights, because in a spoiled way, I want to be able to do that. What am I playing? I'm playing nothing. And that's because I've been busy. I've been busy, people. And that's why I'm playing nothing. And I think I've mentioned this. I think I was telling you that I had no attention span and no interest in playing and watching movies. Playing games, watching movies, because I think I wasn't doing anything. And when you sit down and try to enjoy yourself and you haven't put in the work, I don't think you can enjoy yourself, but a certain amount of time. And I definitely hit that. So what am I doing? Oh man, you wouldn't believe. You would not believe. I'm so excited. It's just a small thing really, but I love it. I am moving my studio office next door to the other room in the basement. Our finished basement has a bathroom, a closet, a little tiny hallway, and two rooms. And my office is the smaller of the two. And it is 8 foot wide. The length of a sheet of plywood. And it's not that much longer. I think it's 14 foot long. So it's a small space, big enough for a kid's bedroom, but it is tight in here because I have a lot of shelves. I have a lot of collectibles. I have a big desk. The desk is 32 inches deep and 72 inches wide. It is large and in charge. It is a desk that was purchased by contributors years ago, and I enjoy it very much, but the room next door was always the media room where the kids would have sleepovers and play games. And that's where they would play. Okay. And they would make messes down there and it was fine. They would have friends over and they'd go downstairs. They'd get the Legos out, you know. Well, those times are done. So I was like, spouse, can I move into that room? And she says, you need to run it past the kids. And the temper kind of flared up a little bit. I'm like, excuse me, I'm going to ask the kids what now? Because one of my kids is 16 and the other one doesn't live here. She said, I just think it would be better if you just ran it past them. And I'm like, okay. So they were both here this week. And I said, guys, can I move my office into y'all's room? And here's what happened. They blew up. They both blew up. My daughter thought I meant take over her room upstairs. So she started just freaking out. Why? That's mine. You know, that kind of thing. Like she couldn't believe that I was asking but she felt like she couldn't say no, you know, at the same time. My son thought I meant, I don't even know. I don't even know, but he was kind of talking and stuff. I think he thought I didn't ask him as well, but I did say you guys. So long story short, both of them approved it, which is great because now dad can do whatever he wants in his own stinking house with the permission of his freaking children. But he even said that the media room has been too big to sit and watch TV in. Like it's almost too big. And I'm like, oh, that's a terrible problem to have, but I will love it. So I have been moving things in there and I have gotten several shelves and tons of collectibles in there. And I set up an 8x4, you know, table in there and I started moving Buzz Lightyear stuff. And I made three piles. The first pile is pack away. The second pile is eBay. And the third pile is display. So it's kind of like that cleanup show. But I made up my own three piles. And I'm putting away a lot of my cheaper stuff that I've bought over the years that I just liked, you know, that were cheap and don't display as well. And then I'm displaying the stuff that is nice. Like I have a transforming Buzz Lightyear that I saved up and I got it from China, from Japan, and it was like $100. So that Joker is going, you know, on the shelf. And so I have a ton of stuff I'm going to bubble wrap and put into containers. I have several things. Man, did you know you can check your stuff on eBay? You just pull up eBay app, hit the camera, take a picture of your toy, and boom, it shows you every one of them that's on sale. Now, every one of them has them for sale for ridiculous amounts. So you go down to filters and then you say more filters and then you click sold items. Then you push that menu out of the way and you can see what these items actually sold for. And I'm going to tell you, I have a Lego Dimensions Doctor Who set that I paid probably $10 for and it is worth $70. So that Joker is going on eBay. Did I tell you guys I sold my DeLorean set, Lego set, for $130? Yeah! So, very happy about that. I still have a Ghostbusters Lego set on eBay. I'm hoping that'll sell. I did have an offer, but it was for $100. It was from a toy store. So they wanted to buy it from me for $100 and sell it for what it's worth at $150. I'm like, no, that's what I'm trying to do. So I'm moving offices, and that means my wife has ideas for the new media room. And you have to understand two things. She wants this media room to be nice, to be nicer. Because before, the media room was made for the kids. So we had cheap IKEA furniture, you know, blah, 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 blah. It looked fine. You know, nothing wrong with IKEA furniture. I have lots of Billy bookcases that I have moved from Florida to here. So, and Kallax, I don't know if you can, but spell Kallax into IKEA and you'll know what I'm talking about. So I have some of those too. But she wanted a nicer couch down here and she wanted, the television to look good. So we have a TV already from the media room and she hates the couch upstairs. We bought it a while back. And the problem we found out with it immediately, we should have probably returned it right away, is the pieces don't connect to each other. And we don't have it up against the wall. It kind of sits in the middle of the living room. And it looks really good. It looks really good. But the minute you sit in it, we even have like stuff to stop it from sliding. But the minute you sit in it, the pieces go askew and nothing stays together. So she doesn't like it. But guess what? We measured. It fits in this room perfectly, the one I'm still in, because the last thing I'm moving is my audio setup. And I think I'm going to start tomorrow because that will give me all the way to Thursday. Jen said you should start on a Friday and then skip that GOK and have all the way to the next Thursday. But I don't want to do that. I think on a Sunday would be good, and that would get me through a Thursday to get everything moved over there. But the whole point is that the sofa is going to fit in here, and it's going to hit against the walls, and that will minimize obviously the motion, but also the fact that they're not connected to each other. So Jen's like, I'm going to the store to look at stuff. She felt motivated. I think my new habits have helped her, especially with the weekends, because she struggles when she's not working. I don't know. The woman loves to be busy. So she went and shopped and found a couch. 50% off floor model. And we measured. I had her measure it. I had actually her salesman measure it. And I went upstairs and measured. It'll fit. The color looks good. It's got the same shape. And it connects. Everything worked out good. I said, how much to ship it? She said, a certain amount. I said, heck to the no, we ain't paying that. Delivery used to be $40 at Nebraska Furniture Mart. What in the heck are you doing? I said, you need to get that knocked down. If they say yes, then buy the sofa. If they say no, say we'll think about it and leave. Well, Jen, I had said knock it down by $50. And Jen got it knocked down by $100. So this is my girl who doesn't haggle. She doesn't haggle. And she haggled. And she got more than I was thinking. So I'm proud of her. They deliver the couch in a week or two. So I've got plenty of time to get this room ready down here. And I'm just excited. This is the kind of stuff that's happening because I moved I got up early. I got passion for stuff. I've got time. I've got some energy and I'm moving into a new office, which opened up this space, which brought down a couch she hates to get something she enjoys and is going to be proud of. And that, you know, what do they say? The butterfly flaps his wings and the tsunami goes off in America or whatever. That's what we're doing is a little bit of that kind of stuff. So I'm very excited. I have a possible new job coming. I didn't know I was going to be a working man again so soon, but I told you I've been applying for jobs. And if I talked about this last week, please forgive me, but it seems so fresh in my mind. There is a church here in the area that wants to hire a graphic designer. It's a pretty large church with multiple campuses, which I'm comfortable with. They have a communications department with filmmakers and graphic designers and directors and stuff like that. And I would be just a lowly graphic designer, a part of a team. The trick is I have to go to their church. So what we are doing is we are going to the Easter service today, actually, at 11:45. Here I am podcasting thinking it's dark out. I'm so used to podcasting at night. But I figured I had the time, I'd do it now. So we're going to go check it out because they do have a Saturday night at 5 p.m. service. And that may be the one we go to because we're used to having our services at night. Novation likes to meet up at night. And five to six, you know, is a good time. And then we could eat right after that for date night. And it would be perfect. You know, and then we don't have to get up and go in on Sunday morning. So we can be lazy with Jesus. That's the way it was meant to be, right? So anyway, they called me, you know, I didn't think I'd hear from them. They called me. My initial interview with HR went really well. And then she had me fill out two of the longest web forms I've ever filled out. One was about kind of my personality, some of my favorite things. Books I've read, movies I've watched. And then one was definitely more on the spiritual, we want to make sure that you're living for Jesus kind of thing. And they asked about, you know, do you have money problems? Are you a frequent shopper? You know, obsessed with shopping? Are you obsessed with porn? Are you having an affair? Do you have aught against your brother? I mean, like I said, it was pretty detailed. And it's funny because they asked a bunch of normal questions like, you know, how did you come to faith? How did you baptize yourself? You know, how'd you get baptized? Blah, blah. And then I had this list of, like I said, all the bad things. Are you this? Are you that or that? And I'm like, nope, never, nope, never, nope, never, nope, never. And then it got down to, is there anything else? They didn't say that you'd like to confess. They just said, is there anything else? And I'm like, this is where you put all the stuff they couldn't think of. And I said, no, I'm perfect and humble. So I try to keep my personality up front, because here's the deal with this church thing is if I'm going to be rejected by another church, let it be right up front, me being myself. So they asked me my favorite books. I said, you didn't say whether it was fiction or nonfiction. For nonfiction, I have to say The Gulag Archipelago, where they talk about the horrors that went on in communist Russia that nobody knows about, nobody talks about, that's right up there with the things that happened to the poor Jews in the Holocaust. I mean, it's communism is the devil, man. And then I said, now for fiction, I said, love me or hate me, but I love me a Harry Potter book, you know? So they may kick my butt to the curb. I mean, it's been 20 years. Get over it, people. You know, the devil didn't take over the planet. You know, nobody turned to Satanism because of Harry Potter. So I think it's okay. But I put that out there and I let my personality shine, and I was very honest, because I would rather be rejected for that than get in there and get involved and then something come out and they find the podcast or they don't like. But these folks, at the initial subscription application had me put all my social media links. So I think they're pretty chill. And I asked them questions because, you know, my last job had a demerit system and I was getting counted off demerits because I log in a minute late. You remember that whole thing? And that's what caused me to start acting out against my manager, and ultimately he fired me over it. Well, I say acting out. I started asking him for support and help to do my job, and he decided to say no. So anyway, that's that. I'll just stop there. We have new stickers. I changed the logo a while back, and we had some new patrons come on to help support the show, and I'm supposed to send them stickers, and I didn't have any stickers to send because all the old stickers are gone. So I ordered new stickers, and what I've decided to do is send a new sticker to everybody that's a patron, that's a supporter of the show. So this is your chance to get in on that. Speaking of which, our show is brought to you by our supporting patron members, with special thanks to Carrie Wright and Carrie Bernhardt and Mike Jones. Support me and the show and get a GOK sticker at patreon.com/GOK. So if you're on the list, man, I'll send you one. And they're cute. They'll fit on your water bottle, your Yeti, you know, or whatever you drink out of. And you can wash it and it'll stay on. It's great. So follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/NLcast. Twitter.com/James W. Kennison. And, you know, that's about it. This has been my audio journal. Thank you for listening, and God bless. Peace.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.